world coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shed up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Good morning, good morning, good morning to all of you out there in radio land. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that you've been having a good day thus far. And I believe that this is gonna be a good day. And so you just keep that in your mind. You know, I don't believe God woke you up this morning for you to just have a bad day. And even when it's a bad day, it's still a good day because you know him who's in control of this day. And that's God Almighty. All right, well, we do thank you for joining us this morning in the Situation Room here. We have a wonderful program scheduled for you today. You know, today is the day that we answer Bible questions and answers. But before we answer Bible questions and answers, let me just give you some contact information just in case you have a Bible question or you have a marriage question or you just have a question about the Christian life or you even have a topic that you want us to discuss here in the Situation Room. You can call them in at 972-257-3766. 972-257-3766 and just leave them on the voicemail, or you can email me at BibleWayIrving@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrving@gmail.com, and we will get your Bible question, a marriage question, we'll get it on as soon as possible. All right. Well, let me get my Bible so that I can answer these Bible questions. And if you're at a location where you can open your Bible, if not, you can just make some notes. Let me get the Bible questions here. All right. First question. Will God curse a person if you do not pay tithes? Will God curse a person if you don't pay tithes? All right. I think that person probably read over here in the book of Malachi. Turn to Malachi, because I think that's probably where this person got this question from. They probably got it from Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, beginning with verse number 8 and 9. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering. Ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." All right. So God asked the people, "Will a man rob God?" And God says, "Yet you robbed me." And God says, the people ask, "How did we rob thee?" And God tells them in two ways, in tithes and in offering. What is the tithe? A tithe is not only a tenth, but remember, it's the first tenth of your increase. It's the first tenth of your increase, and in our day, it would be the first tenth of your income. All right. So the question is, will God curse a person if you don't pay tithes? Now, you got to remember, up under the Old Testament law, and this is dealing with the Old Testament law from Moses all the way to Christ dying on the cross, was up under the Old Testament law. Not everything in the Old Testament was under the Old Testament law. It was from the time of Moses. So you're looking at a lot of history, many years before Moses. But this here, Malachi, was written during the time of Old Testament law. And if a person did not pay their tithes during the Old Testament law, not only was you cursed, but God says you are cursed with a curse, a double whammy, for not paying your tithes. Now keep in mind, tithing, and the reason that God cursed them with a double curse, is tithing in the Old Testament was like a tax, or a tithing, let me say this, rephrase that again, tithing up under the law of Moses, up under the Old Testament law, was looked upon like a tax. So if you didn't pay your tithes, then that was like tax evasion. You was trying to get around the system. You was not paying your taxes. And you had to bring your tithes to the storehouse. And that's what it, verse number 10 said, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now in this way, and says the Lord of hosts, if I would not open for you the windows of heaven, pour out for you a blessing, that there shall not be any room to receive it." All right. Now, keep in mind, up under the Old Testament law, tithing was looked upon like a tax. It was looked upon like a tax. Because the tithe went to support, number one, the priesthood. It went to support those priests that was working there in the temple and at the tabernacle. Secondly, the tithe went to take care of the widows and the orphans. You had a lot of widows, people who was old ladies, particularly old ladies whose husbands had died. That was your widows, and then your orphans. That was kids who mama and daddy had died, and who abandoned them, and they was orphans. And so that's what the tithe went for. And it was also to help take care of the poor and the needy. So those was basically your three reasons for giving tithes in the Old Testament. Now, what about today? What about today? Because we are not living up under the Old Testament law. We are living up under grace today. So today, I still believe that you need to pay tithes. I want to be clear on that. I believe you still need to be, you still need to pay tithes. Why is that? Because grace giving is higher than law giving. In other words, New Testament, the New Testament, the requirements of the New Testament is higher than the requirements of the Old Testament. Remember, Jesus even talked about that in his Sermon on the Mount. Remember one day Jesus says, you have heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say, if a man shall look upon a woman with lust in his heart, he has committed adultery already. See, the Old Testament, it was almost like the actual act. But in the New Testament, it's the spirit behind that the act. That's what Jesus is looking at here. New Testament giving is really higher than Old Testament giving. So I believe that if people could pay tithes in the Old Testament who didn't have the Holy Spirit, then do you think God is going to require that we do something less than what they did? And we got the Holy Spirit. Everybody in the church who have been born again, if you've been born again, if you've truly been saved, then that means you got the Holy Spirit. Well, if you truly got the Holy Spirit, I believe that God requires that you give more than the people in the Old Testament than what they gave. Because, see, even Abraham gave tithes. Abraham was not under the law. Even though he's the Old Testament, Abraham was not up under the law. Abraham lived 400 years before Moses. And Abraham, he gave tithes. So I believe not so much in the tithing law as the tithing principle. The tithing principle. The tithing principle. So Abraham, he gave 10%. When you read Genesis 14, verse number 20, it talks about how Abraham gave to Melchizedek, the high priest, he gave him 10% of all that he had. Then in Genesis 28, 22, Jacob vowed to pay tithes. So tithing was something even before the law of Moses. And I believe in tithing. But I don't think that you should only tithe. I believe that you should use tithing as a starting point. And you should move on and even give more than a tithe. Because you got the Holy Ghost. Now, the person asks, will God curse you for not tithing? No. But you will stop him from blessing you. I don't think so much he's going to curse you as you can stop God from blessing you. See, if you give God 1%, well, that's all God can bless. It's what you gave him. If you give God 5%, well, that's all God can bless. See, whatever you put in God's high hands, God is going to bless it and give it back to you. So the less that you give, the less that you're going to receive. The more that you give God, the more that you receive in return. But let me get a scripture on that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Because let me just show you that, because somebody probably saying he's just doing a lot of talking, but he ain't showing us out the Bible. So let me show you out the Bible. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Look at what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. It says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. So verse number 6 again reminds us how if you give God some sparingly, then you're going to reap sparingly. See, it's just like planting a garden. And this is what Paul is using. He's using an agriculture illustration. See, if you want some butter beans, you determine how much God is going to give you in terms of butter beans. If you want a lot of butter beans, then you need to plant 4 or 5 rows of butter beans. But if you just want 1 row of butter beans, then you just need to plant 1 row of butter beans. If you just want a little row of just some little butter beans, if you don't want that many butter beans, then just plant 1 row of butter beans. But if you want a lot of butter beans, then you need to plant a lot of butter beans. So giving to God is just like planting a seed. The more seeds that you give to God, the bigger your harvest will be. If you just give God just a little, then that's what you'll get in return. You're just going to get a little. But if you give God a lot, then you'll get a lot in return. So it's not so much, will God curse me if I won't tithe? No, God won't be able to bless you like he want to bless you. You're stopping some of your blessings by just giving God a dollar. Well, God can't do that much with a dollar, so to speak. If you give God a dollar, you may get $10 back. Now, if that's what you want, give him a dollar and you get, let's say, 10 back. But let's say if you give God $10, then you may see God double that back. He may give you, you know, $30 back or $40. See, the more you give God, the more you'll see returning to him. That's what it means. He who soweth sparingly reaps sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Sometimes people, they ask me, Pastor, should we tithe on the gross or should we tithe on the net? And I always tell them, it all depends on what you want God to do for you. If you want a net size blessings in return, then you just give. You just tie it on your net. But if you want a gross size blessing in return, then you tie it on your net. See, whatever you give God, that's what he's going to do. He's going to blow on it. He's going to bless it and give it back to you. All right, so hopefully that answered your question. No, I don't believe God will curse you for tithing, for not tithing, but God can't bless you like he want to bless you because you didn't give what you should have gained. All right, let me move on. Let me see, can I get another question in right quick? All right, second question, do you think that Ebola is a judgment from God, and is God judging America for its sin? Do you think that Ebola is a judgment from God, and is God judging America for its sin? No, I don't necessarily see it as a judgment from God, as I see it an outworking of sin. That's what I see, that we live in a fallen world among fallen people, and that's kind of what I see it, because there has only been a handful of cases of Ebola in America. See, if God is pouring out his judgment, it would seem like then that God is pouring out his judgment on Africa and not on America, because we done have, what, thousands of people have died in Africa, but we've only had one person who had Ebola in America to die from Ebola. So I don't so much see it as a judgment from God on America, but not in terms of a direct judgment. You know, my brothers and sisters, God get blamed for a lot of things that is not really God, but is sinful man and the devil. That's what you really have. What I see with this Ebola, I see man perishing for the lack of the knowledge. Excuse me. That's what I see. I see over in Africa, I see a lot of the African people, they are perishing for lack of knowledge, because a lot of the African people, they are eating certain foods like monkeys, and those monkeys have certain diseases, and as a result, they get diseases like Ebola, you know, from eating this monkey meat, So that's kind of what I see. I see a lot of lack of knowledge in terms of how food and stuff ought to be prepared and stuff like that. That's why I see a lot of sicknesses and diseases in these third world countries. Also, what you have is a lot of these scientists are experimenting in these third world countries, that and they don't have the regulations that we have here in America. You know, in America, a lot of our stuff is regulated by the FDIC. They are regulating a lot of stuff in America. There are different agencies stuff, but in these third world countries and countries and like Africa, they don't have a lot of that. And so you have a lot of time these mad scientists, I call them, that they are experimenting with different things, and sometimes their experiments don't always go like they're supposed to. Sometimes they're using certain drugs out on these monkeys, and they're experimenting, you know, with these monkeys and different animals and things like that. And then they turn these animals loose, you know, somebody end up catching these animals, the native people end up catching these animals and stuff that done been injected with certain chemicals, and as a result, these people, they get, you know, diseases and stuff. And now some of this stuff, ladies and gentlemen, is by design. There's something called eugenics, and what that is, that's a depopulation control program. Certain wicked people feel that we got too many poor people, handicapped people, black people on the planet. Therefore, you know, they want to kill certain parts of the segment off, a certain percentage, in order to keep the population down. So they manufacture certain drugs and diseases, and they have certain vaccination programs and stuff over in countries like Africa in order to control the population. So you see, only one person in America done died from Ebola, but you done had, what, 3,000 folks, 5,000 folks in Africa that done died. So I don't so much see this as a direct judgment from God, where I see God judging America. Can I tell you a minute where I see God's judging America? It is by turning America over to a reprobated mind. Now, that's what I see. Like over here in Romans, turn right quick to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Verse number 28 through 32, it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobated mind to do those things which are not convenient." And so this is dealing with homosexuality. Because in verse number 24, it says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Then verse 26, for this cause God gave them up to vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burning their lust one towards another, men with men working that which is unseemly. And then you come to verse 28 that says, and even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's what I see happening in America today. I see God, people are just wanting to you know, get into this homosexuality and just live any kind of way. So I see God stepping out the way. And so when God steps out the way, then you turn over to a reprobated mind to start doing whatever you want to do. And because man is a fallen creature, man is a sinful creature, all these sinful things start taking place. And so that's why the economy is the way it is, because you got reprobated minds trying to work on the economy. The government is like it is because you got reprobated mind. And when we're talking about reprobated mind, no good mind, wicked mind, up to no good mind, crazy mind. You got these mad scientists and stuff, because, you know, even AIDS and stuff has been said that it was man-made. And that's why you got a lot of people today dying of AIDS. They ain't talking about it because the homosexuals don't want you to really talk about it, because it's still, for the most part, a lot of homosexuals get AIDS. And then you got abortions at an all-time high. But you don't hear about a lot of these things because it's controlled by the homosexual agenda. But God has turned America, I feel, over to a reprobated mind. And what you see happening is self-destruction. I think that's what's happening today. We are self-destructing. Just like that tape used to be on that show, Mission Impossible, and so many seconds, that tape, self-destruct. Well, that's what's happening in America. It's not so much God is judging America. God is stepping aside, and America is really judging itself. Well, it looked like that's going to be just about it for today in this Situation Room. I do hope and pray that these questions, the answers to the questions, has helped you. And it's going to be a blessing to your soul. Thank you again for joining us today. Now, let me encourage you to stay with us now the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the word. And at the bottom of the hour, we minister in music. So at 9 o'clock, we'll take a look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of a sermon that I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackle. It'll make you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. Let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. Then at 12 o'clock, if you missed any of these programs, guess what? We began to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell somebody about us, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room. God bless you. Have a good day.